Well, for the next hour and change, Dr. Steve Pachinik is our guest. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik continues to consult the Department of Defense. He received a Council on Foreign Relations CFR Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. In the position, he was created the Office of Combat Terrorism, the Family Liaison Office. He recognized the medical department within the State Department and merged and reorganized the Department of Cultural Affairs and the U.S. Information Agency into one organization, the International Communications Agency. Dr. Pachinik is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. He's the advisor to Tom Clancy. That's how Clancy knows all that stuff. His experiences in government and international crisis management were the basis of Tom Clancy's characters Jack Ryan and Richard Clark. And you can go to IMDb and see that he's listed as executive producer on many of those big films. And it's stevepachinik.com. We're not going to show you his photo. His photo's not known. I mean, he was a really an interesting type, psychiatrist. A lot of times you find those type of guys right up at the top of black ops, psychological warfare. I did more research on him. I mean, I knew who he was 9+ years ago when I interviewed him, and it really blew me away how much he doesn't toot his horn. In fact, looking around here in my stack, I'm looking for my London Telegraph article. U.S. envoy admits role in Aldo Moro killing, the former Italian prime minister. Overthrowing governments. I mean, he is Jack Ryan and then some, that character. That's why we've got Harrison Ford's image up there as Jack Ryan today, since we don't have a photo of a Dr. Pachinik. And I mean, I got to say, at certain levels, they make it mythical, the Navy SEALs and the Delta Force and all that stuff. I mean, this guy, people like to get scared of those types. People ought to really be creeped out in a way by just how much this guy knows, where he's been. He's a scary guy. And I know he's going to probably laugh at that in a minute. But the point is, putting out disinfo, I'm going to see if this is true, so the Red Brigades would go ahead and kill him because they thought it would destabilize Italy if they didn't. I mean, just wild. I mean, it goes on and on. For the Pentagon setting up the modern black op program that's run today, this is the ultimate guy to get on to analyze the black op we saw Sunday, the disinfo, the cartoonishness of it. He comes on air and tells us that, yes, 9/11 is an inside job. He's ready to testify to a federal or state grand jury on the top general at the time that was in the military, that, yes, it was an inside job. They stood down. It was a black op. Now, of course, I've got the local footage of the police saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7, and the firefighters about the molten steel, and the blast charges going off, the free fall. I mean, the NORAD stand down, the Cheney order. I mean, people say, where's the evidence? There's too much evidence. It hides in plain view. But what a breaking news for him to say this here. This is the co-author of Tom Clancy's books, ladies and gentlemen. This guy, untold wealth, untold success, big movies. Why would he be doing this? Because he cares, folks, because we're so down the line now. America is collapsing. I've got the financial stack of news here. 1 in 7 in the U.S. receive food stamps, Wall Street Journal. Stocks sink, led by energy, dollar slump. Dollar now, they're reporting at its all-time low since 1941. Internet police, open calls to start shutting down freedom of speech. Average price of gas hits $4. Chicago breaks $4.44. The White House secretly pressuring newspapers not to even make unflattering remarks about the president and his wife. Total manipulation behind the scenes. Now the official story is literally falling in on itself right now. I listened to national talk radio, local talk radio, liberal, conservative, last night and this morning. I went to bed at 1, got up at 5. Nothing but full spectrum computer, TV on the background, radio. About 70% of the callers are calling in saying, I'm a liberal, I like Obama. They're showing they're not being political, but I think this was staged, and I don't believe it, and I'd heard he'd been killed many times. It was dead years ago. Next, I'm a conservative, and he's trying to get political points with this. Where's the body? Why are they changing the stories? All over the map. Now, that's 70%. We're seeing record Facebook accounts being deleted, MySpace, people being knocked off major news site comments where they normally allow dissent. The system is scared to death right now, and I can officially tell you this blew up in their face. Now, I want to go to Dr. Pechenik here in just a moment because he doesn't want to toot his horn. But, I mean, if he could, just people know how serious, because you can just Google his name. I spent over an hour last night just into the government overthrows, the black ops, the running the Taliban against the Russians. Just you name it. This guy makes E. Howard Hunt look like a schoolboy, all the stuff he was involved in. And it goes on. And of course, Ethan Hunt, that's the name of the guy in Mission Impossible, and they admit that's the character of E. Howard Hunt. We got the deathbed confession here first of them pulling the trigger on JFK. Top U.S. government insider Bin Laden died in 2001. 9/11, a false flag. Top U.S. government insider Dr. Steve Pechenik, a man who held numerous different influential posts under five different presidents, but under the Secretary of State under three, still works for the Defense Department, shockingly told Alex Jones Show yesterday that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 and that he was prepared to testify in front of a grand jury on how top general told him directly that 9/11 was a false flag inside job. I mean, this is the kind of stuff can get us killed, folks. Pechenik cannot be dismissed as a conspiracy theorist. He served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under three administrations, Nixon, Ford, Carter, while working under Reagan and Bush Sr., and still works as a consultant for the Department of Defense, a former U.S. Navy captain, went as high as colonel, I believe, before he got out. Pechenik achieved two prestigious Harry C. Solomon Awards at the Harvard School as he simultaneously completed his Ph.D. at MIT, recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary for State Management. Pechenik went on to develop the basic tenets of psychological warfare. This is from the Pentagon. The basic modern tenets of psychological warfare, counterterrorism strategy, and tactics for transcultural negotiations. That's the anthropology, sociology, for the U.S. Department of State, military and intelligence communities, and other agencies of the U.S. government, while also developing foundational strategies for hostage rescue that were later employed around the world. Pechenik also served as senior policy planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, senior policy planner Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, these are the top kingmakers, James Baker, and worked for George W. Bush's reelection campaign against Al Gore. His record underscores the fact that he is one of the most deeply connected men in intelligence circles over the past three decades. He's Jack Ryan, folks. It just goes on and on. This is insane. And everything he says fits into my research and all the other experts I'm talking to. Hamid Ghul's agreeing, former head of Pakistani intelligence, General Ghul, Webster Tarpley, Wayne Madsen, NSA. I know I'm ranting, sir. I apologize. I want to get into some of the other issues you wanted to cover today, but since we talked 24 hours ago or 22 hours ago to be technical, this is clearly blowing up in their face. Do you agree, and how dangerous are these cornered rats now?
Well, I think, you know, when you tell a lie, you're going to unwind that lie by the very fact that you've created a lie. The nature of creating a lie in psychological warfare is that you have to be consistent, make sure that all the details are intertwined and are credible. It's almost like a movie. So you got to think of the President of the United States, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, who, by the way, his father was a publicist for the William Morris Agency, and in the intelligence community, it's not an accident that you have this entirely contrived story. It's not credible. It's just like you had Disneyland with a key character who was already dead. And in order to reaffirm the storyline, that is to make sure that the President of the United States looked good, a man like Axelrod or all his advisors, including Obama himself, who's particularly suited to the lie, distortions, and deception because that's how he came to power. That's how a George Bush Jr. comes to power. He sits down with a bunch of his own cronies. They sit down in groupthink, which you've talked about before on your radio. Every one of the national security advisors who have their roles there because they're bequeathed and they're sycophants to the president. They're are all kowtowing down, come together and create this fictional story in psychological warfare that makes no sense. And many of the present people in psychological warfare were never trained 20, 30 years ago because they didn't understand the psychology, they don't understand the anthropology, they don't understand that the American public, you do not psyops the American public. That was a rule of thumb that we had under four to five presidents, that if you tried to psyops the American public, and it broke when you had George Bush Jr. when he created the psychological warfare and then created the 9/11 through deception, distortion, false flag, stand down. And then we had before him, we had Lyndon Baines Johnson. It goes on both sides when he created distortion of a false flag in the Gulf of Tonkin. We went into the war in Vietnam, and we had FDR, as Donald Rumsfeld stupidly accused and said that if anybody like Pachenik is accusing the Republicans of creating 9/11, Rumsfeld said this on public September 12th, 2001, he said, Steve Pachenik, if he accuses us, Republicans, of 9/11, then we have to accuse Franklin Roosevelt of doing a standout. Well, of course I accused him of doing a standout because Paul Wolfowitz, the neocon, Salmei Halazad, Frank Fukuyama, you had Dennis Ross, you had Richard Pearl, and you had Scooter Libby, all trained at the University of Chicago under Wolfstetter. And what was their topic? Stand down and false flag in Pearl Harbor at the University of Chicago when I was at MIT. So what happens now? What happens now when you've distorted the story and you can't get a consistency, just as we saw in George Bush Jr., which was, well, we have weapons of mass destruction. Suddenly there's a reality testing. There is no weapons of mass destruction. Then suddenly the military, our formidable military, our generals, and our army generals in particular, are forced to change their intelligence in order to be consistent with the White House. But thank God for a lot of our CIA operatives who were not on contract, who were being career and refused to listen to Bush Jr. and to the bullying of Cheney. But today, unfortunately, 80% of our CIA now are mercenaries. They do not have analysis intel. They really... They're detailed off from special forces. And
well, sir, that's what I want to stop you, doctor, and continue. But that's what Ray McGovern. I don't know if you knew him, but he was, you know, the morning briefer for Reagan and Bush Senior. Did you know him?
No, I knew of him. I didn't know.
Well, Ray says the same thing. He says they can't even do real national security assessments anymore because it's all la-la land. And once you put a psyop out into the public, the way the human brain works and all individuals being limited in their perception, it then is taken back and received by your own system. And it basically, for lack of a better word, makes the military-industrial complex drink their own Kool-Aid.
Well, it's not only the military-industrial complex. By the way, it's very important for the public to understand this. I am not a hero. I'm not this great individual. I'm just a simple American who was grateful for the benefits I was given and earned in terms of the ability to serve my country and at the same time be in the only country where I could criticize my own president and still work for them and be so loyal to my country because I was willing to go online and particularly serve my military, our army generals in particular, the army colonels, and be teaching at the War College every year. That's a privilege for me.
I understand, Dr. Pachenik.
But I have to understand the public. I'm not some superhero. I'm the same guy that your father is, who's a dentist or a mechanic out there or an army lieutenant or a junior officer because they stood for something they believed in. I am tired of the American public being told these lies. I thought it would stop with 9/11. Now we have Obama. Now let's get back to the issue. What happens when the psyops, which was poorly constructed...
You were talking about where they get their CIA people and that most of the intelligence is run by private mercs.
Correct. They get the intelligence people from all the military-industrial complex, L3 Communication, Northrop Grumman. Any of these companies around the Washington Beltway will provide intelligence for you right away because they want those contracts. Now, remember, America, and particularly the Alex Jones audience, supporting our national security does not mean supporting our military-industrial complex. It is not the same thing. They are out of control. They have been hogs that need to be slaughtered. I will quote one of my most favorite presidents. Well, unfortunately, I was too young to serve, but I did always admire him, and that was General Eisenhower, who warned us when he left, beware of the military-industrial complex. He repeatedly said that. This is a great man who was exceedingly modest, who was exceedingly careful of the American national security. And every week, he literally, Alex, would call up the Pentagon to make sure the generals didn't blow out their staff or promote things and create units that didn't exist. That's the type of generals we had and people who cared about a country. We don't have that now. What we have is Disneyland on steroids. And what's worse is that Disneyland is killing our American, our heroes, our American women and men and young people who are going out to die for civilian orders that are being used and manipulated by a president who's never served our country, has a questionable background in many, many places, forget the birthing issue, and has civilians around him have all been questionable in their capability, and were all recruited from a questionable predecessor, either Carter or Clinton, who himself was also a sociopath. So we have three sociopaths in line, and I use it not in a diagnostic term, but in a very simple term. You have Clinton, who lied and prevaricated. You have Bush Jr., who lied and prevaricated. And now you have Obama. Now, if we have three in the low, we got a problem here, America. This problem isn't just with the individual or the Republican and Democrat. This problem is with the American people. We have to decide this is enough. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, it's irrelevant.
Sir, let me stop you because...
Alex Jones.
Absolutely, okay. Because we have limited time, and obviously you're going to be back
all
with
right,
us a
so
lot.
What happened, the issue now, what happened is, if I didn't know which unit of the special forces, and I've worked with special forces over 30 years, and part of it, I was involved in development of Delta Force because in the beginning of hostage negotiating, we didn't have a comparable unit to the SAS. One of the concerns that I had, and I said, if I think any unit's going to be sent in there on the basis of publicity, and believe me, I have a lot of respect for the men and women who serve in the Navy and in all special forces, but particularly I work with the military, Army, the special forces, which, by the way, you have never heard anything about. You have never heard about any of the Army men who I know and the units that I specifically know, nor will I tell you of the men and women who are in the Army and they're serving this country, and they've never had a movie about them. They've never had a story about them. Yet today, I would have sworn, and I said to Alex Jones beforehand, if I had to predict which unit was going to get the biggest publicity, and if I were Admiral Mullen, who's concerned about his publicity and the publicity of the Navy because they have no goal whatsoever right now strategically, I would have said they would have used the SEAL Navy team. Now, think about it. You use a SEAL Navy team on the ground from Afghanistan to Pakistan. It makes no sense. And then to go on the news and to say that we are so great, but we are so secret, it is an inherent contradiction. When you're secret, you are secret. There's a reason why I don't have a picture, because I'm not that good looking. There's a reason why I really don't care about what people think about it, because I want to do my everyday life in America. I don't need to promote my narcissism. I don't need to promote who I am or what I am. It's already difficult to pronounce my last name, Pechenik. And by the way, that's been my secret to success overseas, because nobody could spell Pechenik, including Noriega. But let's go back to the Navy SEALs. They really have to question what they did and what happened.
Well, let me stop you, Doctor. Doctor, there's been some major breaking news. Dr. Pechenik, are you there?
Okay,
great. Obviously, this morning they came out and said his daughter, who they have at a military base in Pakistan, who was left there, and he has all these wives, all these concubines, all this made-up cutout, just like they told us that, you know, Pat Tillman was killed fighting al-Qaeda, and it turned out they just murdered him.
Right.
Or the same thing with Private Lynch, with Bruckheimer on record producing it. If folks don't know about that, BBC admits it. They're now announcing that, oh, not only did bin Laden not use his wife as a shield, not only did he not shoot at them, now they grabbed him, took him out, and then shot him somewhere else, and they just keep changing it, changing it, changing it. And then this SEAL Team 6, as you know, is the most secret of the teams and has other teams associated with it. That's why they use that team, so that other SEALs ignorant and can never, you know, discover that it didn't happen. And you're breaking down what teams you think are involved, what happened. Obviously, it's theater. He's been dead for 9 plus years, 10 years, but and they're creating
Let me tell you a true story. story. Let me just so your audience understands it. I work with special forces for over 30 years, not particularly with SEALs, but I did have an episode with the SEALs. I'm not degrading the SEALs. I think there are very good men and women who are in the SEALs. But let me tell you the history of the SEALs as I know it. Under the Reagan administration, I was involved in the invasion of Grenada. The only men we lost on a raft were SEAL member teams heading into Grenada. Now, you tell me how 4 to 6 SEAL members drowned on a raft heading into Grenada. The only members of any special forces I have ever seen in the movies, on television, so promoting themselves like the FBI loves to promote itself, and it had a history where it was totally dysfunctional in international crisis management and in terrorism, because I've worked with the FBI. They never shared their intelligence. They never shared their information. Remember, they were the ones who flew out Osama bin Laden but didn't say a word. Is, again, whenever you see self-promotion of a particular unit in the U.S. government, you have to question it as an American citizen. Now, I'm not degrading those people who go through the SEAL unit and are on the teams. These are brave men and women. I'm questioning how they're being manipulated and used. I'm questioning an Admiral Mullen, who's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's already made judgment mistakes by giving a civilian medal of honor to another sociopath named Greg Mortensen, who claimed he was in Pakistan, and then I reprimanded them for doing that, and immediately he was seen in terms of a statesmanlike attitude, and I say he should resign now, he should resign, the SEAL team should resign, and every member who has been involved in this contrived, disgusting, degrading PSYOPs operation should resign.
All right, stay there, doctor. We got a break. We come back as a PSYOPs expert, decipher why it's a fraud for us, and we'll get into some other important.
You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a god. Watch people's heads a roll.
Dr. Steve Pachinik is our guest, and he's breaking down as a PSYOPs expert who really wrote the book on much of the modern system that this is completely phony. And I know that he just laughs at it. He's on record 9 years ago here saying bin Laden was on ice, would be rolled out. Then the former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, came out and said indeed that was true. Teresa Hines Carey, Walter Cronkite, big insider. And people get confused. They say, well, this is a new administration. Why would Bush let him do that later? A, no one would believe it because it was exposed beforehand. B, they wanted to keep that boogeyman alive a while. Now that he's not useful anymore, by killing him in the fairyland, in the land of Nod, or the you know, the land that Tinkerbell lives in, by doing that, now they revive him and say, oh my gosh, look, the terrorists are now everywhere. They're going to be attacking us. We've got to set up TSA trained checkpoints in all malls, grocery stores. That's CBS News Today. We've got to take all your rights and have more wars. You've got to do whatever we tell you because bin Laden is dead. And of course, we wrote about this yesterday. Forget Pakistan. U.S. knew bin Laden's location all along, if you believe the official story. And the Pakistanis are now saying 9 months ago they said something was going on in that compound. But again, that's all just adding credence to the official story, and all these debates about did he have a gun, did he use his wife, was he shot at the compound, did they execute him later? That's all to create inconsistencies in the fake narrative, because somehow it lends credibility to it, because then people say, well, they did kill him, but we're being lied to about exactly how. And the burial at sea, which they say is the Sharia law, and then it's the opposite of Sharia law, then it makes it about did they follow Sharia law instead of why did they throw him in the ocean to get rid of him? All of it completely manufactured. So, sir, as a one of the top PSYOP experts out there on record doctor, break down not just the fact that you know it's a lie because of your inside sources and being on record, but looking at the official fable. I mean, I think you said it best. The SEALs are the politicized special forces group. Then there's Delta that you helped found. And during the break, you said, yes, you're correct, but I can't talk about it. But obviously, through my contacts, there are a whole bunch of other squadrons with other jobs, not just anti-terror, the surveillance groups, the plainclothes groups. I mean, there's all sorts of groups way above that, but you can't get into that. But obviously, they use the politicized group with this phantom SEAL Team 6, so the other SEALs can't even find out it's a fraud. Please continue.
Well, the real issue, again, in the narrative that you want to create in PSYOPs, when you create a war like 9/11, which deception, denial, false flag, and stand-in that all your people know about, you need to have a bad guy. So the bad guy was suddenly Saddam Osama bin Laden. But in this narrative, because Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, and the neocons were not very bright in understanding even PSYOPs for war, they created two bad guys, Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And a lot of us got confused because Saddam Hussein has never been a Muslim. He was basically a Baathist. He hated Osama bin Laden. And basically we had two wars going on with two unspecified targets. We went into two countries without any clear exposition of what the reasons were. So we had this incredible PSYOPs that made no sense, no internal consistency. When people in the intelligence community came back to Bush and said, this is not true, we don't have weapons of mass destruction, the only fable that was out there to sustain this myth of the war, of why we were fighting terrorists that didn't exist, and we had created under the Carter administration and subsequently in the Bush's administration, we had to have this phantom called Osama bin Laden, who was somehow scurrying about in the Afghanistan in Tora Bora with a renal dialysis machine. And I said 10 years ago on Alex Jones' show, this is nonsense. This PSYOPs is so pathetic because he has Marfan syndrome. He died already 6 months after the 9/11 attack. Zawahiri, his number two man who's head of the Taliban, is a physician. And by the way, from a tactical point of view and a strategic point of view, his death means absolutely nothing in the real world of intelligence.
Let me stop you.
What it means is that Obama is trying to resurrect his career and trying to get reelected, and it means that Panetta wants to have credibility that he did something in the CIA when, in fact, he was a disaster in the CIA. He killed more civilians in Pakistan than any terrorist had. He created more drone attacks than any terrorist. We had more CIA operatives die because of his faulty understanding, and we converted an entire CIA, which is an intelligence or human-oriented, into special forces and into a killing unit. Now, this does not involve the generals Petraeus and our military men who've done a formidable job, but they are also at the behest of civilians who've never been to war. So when the President of the United States, Obama, said, without any experience, after picking up the Nobel Peace Prize, which was absurd, and then went to war the next day in Afghanistan after giving this peace talk to the Muslims saying we're all brothers, you could see the inconsistency in the lies. And now this politicized drama, which makes no sense, all the inconsistencies are unwinding. But we needed Osama bin Laden, or the story was needed, in order to get the bad man. The reason he's now discovered, and ostensibly this attack on a mortuary, which I've never, this is the most absurd story I've ever heard, legitimizes, number one, the fact that this entire system of intelligence, which, by the way, Americans have to understand, there are over 850,000 contractors with top secret clearances. Now, that is the most absurd thing I have ever heard.
Who have a stake in the fairy tale. Let me add something, because you are a medical doctor. Let's break this down. Now, from my own layman research, total renal failure, kidney failure for layman out there, the disease he had, I went online to a whole bunch of mainline medical sites last night, and on the outside, they were saying maybe you can live 5-6 years once you're in this position, but if you have this disease, even less. So then I went and pulled up old articles from even the mid-90s saying he had it then and that it was on record. You've seen a CIA file. So how can a guy that has something that kills you in 6 years, correct me if I'm wrong, how can he be alive 16 years later?
He can't. That's why I said on your show even 2 and 9 years ago that Dr. Dooley, one of the physicians at the CIA, went to the American hospital in Dubai. He was already dying under the Clinton administration. So you have Clinton implicated, who's another prevaricator and distorter. I mean, and that was used subsequently in 9/11 because they knew his life was limited. That was it. He was to die. So how do you best use a man's imminent death in a psychological warfare routine? Well, you make him the bad guy. So you make him the bad guy, and then you don't find him for 10 years. Now, that is so absurd in terms of credibility.
And by the way, sir, by the way, you didn't even know that CBS News had reported that the CIA did go to the American hospital, Le Figaro, the French. That's been confirmed.
No, I knew this way before.
No. I understand. And, well, no, you said it on the show years ago. It didn't come out until after, but they probably got it from you and then went and did research. But the issue here is that they know full well. Now, his family builds most of the military bases in the Middle East. They did the air conditioning for Mecca. They're one of the richest families in Saudi Arabia.
They're still working.
I mean, exactly. His kids, you know, are all going to Oxford and the rest of it. Now his daughter, but we're not seeing her, pops up and says it's all true. This family, from my study, correct me if I'm wrong, goes back to British intelligence. They didn't just send bin Laden in to be the money man for the Mujahideen that you met while you were there running some of the military operations because he fell off an apple truck. Now, my intel is they made the deal with him and his family at the time to let him play the part of the bad guy, and since then they've been given even bigger U.S. and British contracts as the payoff.
Right. Let me tell you one principle of counterterrorism and psychological warfare. Any terrorist that has been apprehended, for the most part, as a rule of thumb, for example, Carlos, not only served intelligence of the Soviets, he served intelligence for the Mossad, for the French, who caused questionably called him BND. So within this game of counterterrorism, which is really a game, a very sick game, we create what is called, under Kissinger, strategic tension. We create strategic tension so we have a legitimate reason to go into a country to either invade, suppress, or extract whatever mineral rights. Now, let me give you an understanding. Let me say it very clearly. Osama bin Laden was on more than one payroll. He was not only in the CIA payroll, British payroll, but guess whose other payroll he was on, Alex Jones?
The Israelis.
Take a wild guess. You got it. And he had relationships with Jews in the Middle East, in the diamond business, and Israel will go absolutely nuts. But the New York Times article years ago even reported how a lot of his own money came out of the Jewish diamond dealers in Tel Aviv, and his mother, Yemeni, usually would probably be Jewish. But I don't want to get into this entire issue other than the fact that people have to understand, when I went after Noriega, which also cost my life because he hunted me down, accused me of being an assassin, whether it's right or wrong, let's not worry about that. But he served our intelligence, he served Latin American intelligence, he served Cuban intelligence, he served many intelligence. For the same reason, when we went after Saddam Hussein, by the way, I do have to correct you, Saddam Hussein was not executed, with all due respect, Alex Jones. We never execute a leader of a country, and particularly with Bush Jr., who's a liar and a coward, by the way.
So you're saying that's all fake, too?
He was not executed. What you saw, in effect, was a picture of a so-called execution through a camera, of somebody's little camera. But he is probably somewhere in the Central Asia. And Bush Jr. can go in front of a federal court, and if he can swear that without holding Cheney's hands the same way he did the commission, I will be surprised.
Well, sir, that's like the old King's rule where kings don't kill kings. That's why twice.
That's exactly true.
That's why twice with Napoleon they put him on islands.
Exactly. Idi Amin, I worked against Idi Amin. He killed 187,000 people. We didn't kill him. We put him in Saudi Arabia. He was playing poetry. He was writing poetry. He was playing golf. Noriega was never killed. He was sent off to France. He has a chateau in France. It goes on and on and on. Osama bin Laden was already dead. We used him. All of these so-called villains are used for national security purposes, and the vehicle is always a psychological operation to mobilize the American public through the most cynical of all statements, national security, freedom of speech, and in fact what happens is their suppression. So the inherent paradox of what our country does to ourselves will come back to bite government repeatedly because the American government will not tolerate. The American people will not tolerate.
Doctor, this is too incredible, and the time we've got, only about 35 minutes with you. I don't want to bump Lord Monckton, who's popping in, but I'm getting really tempted to do it here in a minute.
Okay.
But no. Stay there, sir, because...
I am here.
Let's go back. Let's go back here, because every time you mention something, it opens a whole data mine in my own brain up. The four Al-Qaeda leaders...
You must have been a student at school. You must have been restless at school, Alex.
I was restless, but every time you mention a point, then I can see all the data that's public, not to mention all the data, inside data you have, but it's just all confirmed. When I was on RT, international TV, a few days ago, they showed the four top Al-Qaeda people, and three of them, Gadon, Alaki, and one other, they admit all born in the U.S., and then I know their ledgers. Anwar al-Awlaki, Fox News admits, secretly at the Pentagon, 2 months after 9/11, dining with the Secretary of the Army. He runs the Fort Hood, Patsy attacks, the underwear bomber, the Times Square, the shoe bomber. They get the drugged Mutalib on the plane. I mean, this is all admitted. And the State Department
That's
did.
Correct.
I mean, what's crazy is it. Let me just add this final point.
You have to get to the central premise, my dear friend.
No, but here's my point. Adam Gadon is the grandson of the former head of the ADL who was arrested for beating up Arabs outside mosque. He hated him so much. And the way he gets them is by dressing up in that clown suit with the beard. Here is this ADL grandson uploading with the Intel Center in the same Al-Qaeda logo, their logo, and Wired Magazine confirmed they'd made the video. I mean, you're bringing up bin Laden working for Israel. I don't think people get what you're saying here. They have
I'm not saying he's working. I'm saying that basically he had been funded by, diamond dealers. That was in the New York Times. And I'm sure he worked for many other intelligence services, including the Brits and others, you know, because in that game, and this is speculation on that part, in that game of counterterrorism, which unfortunately is a game, it is always service of multiple masters in order to justify what they do, what national governments do. But bin Laden was always dealing in the diamond business. I believe his mother was Jewish. She's Yemeni. And, you know, the bin Laden family is still part of the Carlyle Group. Take a look if they hadn't been on it, or are they still part of it? You can look it up.
No, sir. London Guardian headline, September 11th, 2001. It had already, September 12th, that all these top brass and Bush people were meeting at the Carlyle Group meeting with the bin Ladens there that day. That's what I mean. There's all these insane connections.
That's correct. It's all connections. So basically the question is, how do you break these connections, and how does the American public stop this nonsensical, dangerous, cynical destruction, as you call it? It's destroying the fibers of our country, and the answer is you have to get out on the streets and start insisting on freedom of speech, insisting that you have to organize, that the American public is not stupid. They don't need to have their homework to protect the country, and they have to demand the truth. And they have to force their legislators, most of whom are cowardly, because whether you're Republican or Democrat, remember the dynamics of a legislator is the panderer. He first says to you very nicely, oh, please vote for me, please vote for me, this is what I can do. Well, it's like saying a physician like me, if I were in a medical student, I go up to you, Alex, and I said, listen, I want you to pay for the fact that I'm going to be a doctor, but I'm not a doctor right now, but I promise you I'm going to be a doctor, and you're going to say, what, are you crazy? You haven't shown anything that you can do to be a doctor. Well, that's what Obama did. He said, look, I can run this country, but I've never run anything.
All right, Dr. Pechenik, we've got a break. And again, I hate to interrupt because everything you're saying is so important, but then I've got all of these other questions I want to bring up to you. And I want to get into the solutions. I want to spend a lot of time on that. There's also a lot of breaking news. CBS News is confirming the president has now given an interview that will be played later this week, that they are not going to release the photos. And they say, Obama said the risk of releasing outweighed the benefits. Conspiracy theorists around the world will just claim the photos are doctored anyway. And there is a real risk that releasing the photos will only serve to inflame public opinion in the Middle East. And he went on to attack conspiracy theorists. This has been released by CBS News, that Obama is responding to conspiracy theorists. That is people that don't buy his propaganda. I want to talk about this when we come back. But also, more importantly, something I've learned that you've written and talked about, the move towards a police state martial law situation, because there is a full court press, ABC, CBS, CNN, saying, contrary to the war on terror being over, we are going to set up federally trained police in grocery stores everywhere, and that everyone is going to have hands stuck down their pants. They're doing this to break our will. We'll find out from Dr. It's torture when a guest like Dr. Pachenik is on, because it's so informative. And I've done all this research. When I hear him talking, I want to say, yes, yes, you're right. Folks, it's true. In fact, here's all this public evidence. I mean, he'll say one line of information and then another, another, another. And each one, when I've just immersed myself in this, it makes my head burn. Not in a bad way. It makes me want to jump out of my chair and just see people come out of their trance. The people perish for lack of knowledge. Sir, what do you make of Obama? They've now released the transcript of a 60 Minutes interview he just did today, responding to conspiracy theorists. Now he's responding to the birth certificate. I mean, this shows how weak they are. And now they're not going to release a photo because any Photoshop expert can put it in a computer and scan it. They put out a, whether you believe he was born in Hawaii or not, the experts have now spoken. The birth certificate has been altered. Did they do it on purpose to make the debate continue? I don't think so.
Well,
I mean,
let's get it straight. What happens when you attack the government, whether it's under Bush Jr. or Obama, and you're seeing Obama use it, but he's not as effective as Bush Jr. was, because Bush Jr. was had more CIA operatives there who had a better history of psyops. The truth is, when you don't know what to say, you immediately denigrate people like me. In particular, is what he's talking about, people like you, Alex, and all of your audience, by saying we're conspiracy theorists. Well, you know, the beauty of life is that there are people who are trying to do nasty things. And whether we call it conspiracy theorist or not, or he says it's silliness, that doesn't mitigate the fact that there's truth. And a man who is not able to tell the truth or come to terms with the truth then uses these very flippant words like conspiracy theorist, silly people, birthist or truist. These are code words in order to make sure that you're put into a corner where you can't say anything and you're categorized. That's a very easy way to delegitimize you in psychological warfare. But unfortunately, the president really is not very smart. Contrary to his own self-esteem, and they're going to listen to this in the White House, he's not very bright. And I'm saying that because he never really had an education in psychology. He never really had an education in the real world, how it works, other than the political world of corruption, deception, denial, and lie. But he doesn't really know how to effectively use it. More importantly, neither do anybody around him. That's why the storyline and this atrocity and ridiculousness, if you want to talk about the president's own word, silliness, of the body of Osama bin Laden that's been dead for 9 years, but he can't show you a picture of it, is so absurd, it flashes back to him. It's what we call a blowback. The president now is desperate.
Well, that's what I'm saying, sir. Doctor, I got to stop you again. I got to stop you because this is I'm having an epiphany here. Exactly. I think this proves what you're saying. They've got the power, but they've been immersed in their lies so long that they're the ones that are delusional. Didn't they know claiming they threw him in the ocean would make people not believe him? Don't they know not releasing a photo is the prima facie evidence? I mean, they look so guilty.
My dear friend Alex, let me tell you something about you and the American public. We're a lot smarter than our politicians. This is not being grandiose. I'm just telling you, the American public has to understand that we, the American public, are a lot smarter than our politicians because, number one, we understand real life. Number two, we're used to television shows. Number three, we have silly movies. We're used to reality shows. This is a reality show that makes no sense and is very pathetic. Because, unfortunately, it's costing us millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, and the actor he's not a very good actor, because number one, he's not good at acting. You look at him at the teleprompter, he's pathetic. He looks like a zombie without any emotion. Secondly, he really has no intellectual capacity to analyze or question what really is happening, despite the fact he said he's from Harvard Law, you know, very Harvard Law. Well, that doesn't make for a very effective president or a good person.
Another BS-filled lawyer. Stay there, Dr. Pechenik, back in 60 seconds. We've only got 20 minutes left with him. This is amazing, ladies and gentlemen.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Pechenik is our guest. Webster Tarpley coming up, or Montan coming up. There's so many stories, so much intel this guy could give us. So many questions. I don't even know where to begin. We're going to have him back just for calls soon and for your Twitter questions. Dr. Pechenik, I want to get into solutions in the next segment with you. This is a short little segment. But you were just talking about Rumsfeld attacking you after 9/11. And at the same time, Bush went to the UN and said, let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories, you know, which means don't investigate, don't look at me, don't look under the rug. I mean, it's really, methinks you protest too much. But get into what Rumsfeld said.
Well, it's very simple. Once you get into this type of situation where Rumsfeld said, you know, if you accuse me and the Republican administration, which he really directed towards me as a conspiracy theorist, which was absurd, I said, fine, it's reality. Then you have to talk about Roosevelt creating Pearl Harbor. And I said, of course Roosevelt had a stand on Pearl Harbor. It's the same thing with Obama. The minute he talks about his conspiracy theory or silliness or whatever he wants to say, then what happens is it repercusses back to him and it opens up his own narcissistic vulnerability, which is a fancy way of saying, listen, the more you pump yourself up, stupid, the more you're going to be vulnerable to the American public asking questions of what did you do in Chicago when you were growing up? While you were married, before you're married, before you were educated, what kind of education did you really have? Let's look at really what you did, because the more stupid things you say and you do to the American public, the more vulnerable you become. And go ask Axelrod, who's not the brightest guy in the world, and ask your own heads of national intelligence who remain there because they get pensions and they get double pensions. These are not the same guys from the 90s and 80s. Work for Bush and Reagan, who really sacrificed their lives. These are guys who earn their pensions, remain there, and really have never been in the outside world. So I want this president to keep on attacking me and you and the American public to come out with more and more stupidity, because underneath it all, he's not just a liar. He knows he's a sociopath. He knows it from the day he was born, he's a sociopath. You don't get to be president of the United States unless you want to manipulate, deceive, and lie. But this is not a man who's basically all that bright. In the same way Condoleezza was not very bright. We know Bush Jr. was stupid. Clinton was very bright, but he's a bright liar. This man is not even a bright liar. It would do well for him to go to Clinton to understand how to lie convincingly. But this president is getting stupider and stupider, in fact, when he's trying to promote himself at a time when he's so weak and he can't really get out of the notion of the birther issue, out of the notion that we have a police state where we have TSA. Now, what in God's name are TSA people doing, putting their hands in your crotch, sealing you up, delaying everything, and making believe that they caught any terrorist? There is no terrorist that they could find. Furthermore, if they want to look at anything, why don't you look at the harbors? Why don't you look at overseas? And really look at what you're looking at. The only terrorist we had is Chertoff, who started all of this nonsense with the TSA because he owns a lot of the machinery. And the neocons who are still around trying to promote American democracy. And we have a president who is so pathetically inept. He knows that. He knows that guys like me cannot be convinced, because I didn't buy him when I heard from congressmen that Hillary Clinton couldn't lie or run. You know why? Because Bill Clinton was still screwing around. He was still screwing around. So I was asked by a congressman who I will not identify why Hillary Clinton will not be able to win the presidency. And I said, Bill Clinton will never allow Hillary Clinton to win the presidency because he's screwing around. So you had a man out of nowhere who came out of nowhere, Chicago, with a ballet dancer who was his right-hand man, Rahm Emanuel, who really was a totally dysfunctional ballet dancer, and it came to the forefront. He said he was a very powerful man and intimidated. He didn't intimidate anybody. One senator said, very convincingly, "I wish he were more of a knee breaker than a ballet dancer." He gave away $80 billion in pharmaceutical grants to the pharmacy in order to pass Obamacare.
Stay there, sir. Yeah, it was written by the insurance companies. Dr. Steve Pachinik, unbelievable information. Let's get into solutions when we come back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Right now, there are literally hundreds of articles coming out. I'm scanning over the headlines. The Atlantic that attacked me yesterday saying I was a kook for questioning the Bin Laden kill. Now their editor comes out with the slippery story of the Bin Laden kill. Drudge has it linked up at Drudge Report. And it just goes through the fact that people are not buying it. 7 out of 10 calls, I actually was sitting there driving in my car with a piece of paper doing the four lines and the fifth line through it, counting. 7 out of 10 callers, national, local, are not buying it. A complete rout has begun. Dr. Pachinik, for those that just joined us, is the Jack Ryan, of course, of the Patriot Games, that character from the books of Tom Clancy, really spy master, overthrowing governments, running assassinations, you name it, working in 5 administrations. Sir, what do you make of the fact that this is starting to blow up in their face? Is there any danger in them now trying to pull some even more ridiculous rabbit out of a hat? How could this escalate?
Well, this can escalate very quickly by what you saw. That, in fact, we're going to increase our terrorist watch. We're going to suppress the American public more. We're going to have more security. But in fact, I have more faith in our military, particularly the Army, than I do in our civilian government. I have faith in men like General Petraeus, other generals who I will not mention, where the Army will not tolerate this type of behavior by civilians who are really inept. And really what's happening is the quicker that General Petraeus gets into the CIA and is able to take control of this so-called intelligence apparatus, which really has not been functional. As I told you, 850,000 of these intel boards in counterterrorism have top secret. They're all making money. It's become a big business. One of my close general friends said to me, the greatest weapon of mass destruction is these centers for counterterrorism. Think of that. The standards for counterterrorism are the greatest dangers of that. So I'm not as afraid, because the American public is going to resist it. They're going to say, F you, fire up. And they should stand up and say, that's enough. We don't have the attacks. The attacks did not occur for 30 years. It only occurred after Bush and Cheney created an attack in 9/11. And then they made it this absurd psyops that said, since 9/11, we haven't had an attack. Yeah, we've had attacks. We've had attacks by basically a security force that never existed, the PSA, for Homeland Security, which is a misnomer, run by a woman from Arizona who barely could run Arizona and her own border. And now you have incompetency on steroids. So what you really have to do now is to watch our own military say, in effect, quietly, cease and desist to our civilians. I know Obama cannot handle our military. I know, in fact, that Obama is surrounded by sycophants from Chicago, all of whom are ex-Chicago, convicts, pre-convicts, ex-convicts with questionable histories. You know what it does? I'm very happy when he attacks me or you, because it opens up daily. It's brothers. It opens up exactly what they did in Chicago. And you, quite frankly, they're messing with the wrong guy. They really don't understand. I'm not that special. I'm just another American who will not tolerate the BS of an organization that's corrupt, deceptive. And at the same time, what they're going to do is they're going to ramp up their ineffectualness and dysfunctionalism. What happens, in effect, if you're not good at telling a lie, you're not going to be good at reversing that lie, because you're going to be continuously unthreading these lies by saying, well, that's not the picture. I mean, it's absurd. It becomes so comical that Obama becomes nothing more than an iconic picture of stupidity, incompetence, dysfunctionalism, and self-aggrandizement, which is really what's happening. And he knows that, and he's getting very pissed off every time I'm saying that, because it's going right into the White House, and he knows guys like me who've been to the schools that he's been to, and then some, will not tolerate the nonsense he came forth with and made believe that he was that important, that smart. He is not that important. He's not that smart. He's really quite incompetent and has never accomplished anything in his life. So I want the mechanics, the truck drivers, the doctors, every one of us to stand up and said, we've had enough. And I want us to go after Mr. John Yoo, who ran in the front page of the New York Times, the man who wrote, a South Korean naturalized in America, who wrote the Patriots Act 5 weeks before we had 9/11, and wrote in the memorandum that we should have torture of our terrorists, so-called terrorists, Mr. Yoo, who I attacked on September 12th, because I already picked up what he had done. He was unpatriotic, un-American. He has criminal charges against him. He's at the University of Berkeley. And I want the students at Berkeley to protest his presence and refuse to accept the legal degree, because he's a lawyer there who's tenured at University of Berkeley, a liberal school, run by the Chancellor Robert Bergineau, a Canadian who'd been at MIT for 25 years. This is the beginning of the unraveling and counterbalancing what was happening in 9/11 and the absurdity. John, you came on the front page of the New York Times and said, we are justified in the Bush administration for torturing. Well, John, you should be tortured and should be put in prison so that he understands what happened. I want your public to go in and see John Yoo, Y-O-O, and see how many charges have been pressed against him and how now the University of Berkeley, the great liberal school in California at Berkeley, has retained him as a tenured professor, and I want the chancellor to fire him. And if the chancellor doesn't, I would like Jerry Brown, the governor, to fire the chancellor, because there's no excuse.
All right, I want to go further, though.
The day of retribution comes back 9 years later, my friend.
Well, doctor, they're obviously scared. I mean, a bunch of the torturers went to prison, but then Bush wrote a book last year saying he ordered torture. He'd do it again. Rumsfeld's out promoting it. They're trying to resuscitate torture, lying and saying that torture, enhanced interrogation, rough interrogation, as they Orwellian whitewash it, led to the killing of bin Laden. Then the White House comes out and says, actually, torture didn't lead to this. KSM, of course, confessed to bombing buildings that were built after he was already captured and spent, you know, many years of torture and mind control at Gitmo. So expanding on that, are they trying to resuscitate torture? Because if they can sell our troops on doing that, they can have an army of darkness. Or is it more about trying to not end up down the road going to prison for what they've done?
I think it's more about ending up in prison. They're too cowardly. Those people who espoused it, Bush Jr. and Cheney, who've never been in the army. Cheney refused to serve our country 8 times. Do you know that? An alcoholic who was kicked out of Yale for alcoholism, was sent to University of Wisconsin, and his wife, the great neocon, who decided to get pregnant on the 9th time. 8 times I told my general he refused to go to the Army, but he didn't have a problem sending our troops into war. And he said the Vietnam War was not my kind of war. So you're talking about the chicken hawks. These guys should be in prison, should be indicted, but more importantly, you, who wrote that memorandum, should be thrown out, license taken away, but more importantly, Obama's trying to do is to cover up for Bush Jr. so that there's a story, a narrative that seems very consistent, which is absolutely absurd. Torture does not work. I've been in the field 30 years, never had to torture anyone, never had to touch them, never had to do anything but sit down. And any detective and any policeman in any town knows the following. You sit down, you have a smoke, you have a drink together, you talk, you get a lot more information than torturing. Waterboarding does not work. But if they're not convinced, I'd be happy to waterboard Donald Rumsfeld so that he can explain how he did 9/11. I'd be happy to waterboard Cheney to explain how he did 9/11. I'd waterboard Wolfowitz for 9/11 since he's a coward. And Elliot Abrams, who's the Council on Foreign Relations, and he is a total coward, who was also involved in Honduras and Nicaragua and the Contra affair. He's never been held accountable. So we have all of these people who have never been held accountable coming back again like sewage. We have a backup of a sewage system. And now the garbage owner is Obama. and he's just stirring the pot to make sure that everybody gets to be liked, and everybody has a narrative that's consistent with suppression, oppression, and he gets reelected. The Republicans are no better, believe me. They are just pathetic. If you look at the entire field, they have nothing to say except platitudes.
Well, the main, doctor, and again, we're talking the real-life Jack Ryan, folks, you know, co-wrote the books with Clancy, wrote the modern black op system cannons that are used, and he's here basically spilling the reality out for people because we're in such crisis, a crisis because the elite like Nero or Caligula is going insane, and they are just putting out more and more bizarre lies. What about the childish media that keeps saying, well, why would Bush not do the fake killing of bin Laden, and then why would Obama, as if they're fighting with each other, when both parties continue to cover up for the crimes of the last administration, and this is all part of that continuity of the military-industrial complex, and then
well,
I want to get into the point.
Understand what it means to be a news reporter or an anchor person. Number one, in order to get information, you have to be egregious to access yourself to the individual you want to write about. So from the very beginning, the media wants to portray itself as an adversary, but really what they are sycophants. You look at the entire dynamic of the media, which I rarely talk to the press.
It's fake fights. Fake fights.
They're total sycophants. They basically will call up and say, oh, would you please talk to me really on the record, off the record? You can play games with the media, and I've done it, where I've had three different quotations all done by myself. On the record, off the background, deep background. So you play games with them. In the PSYOPs world, we play games with them. In the world of Obama, he needs it in order to feed his ego because he has nothing else. There's nothing else to manipulate except the people in the media who become the news itself. So you have the very personalities in the media talking about themselves, and the people of America getting sick. It's egregious. We're getting sick. I don't want to see every one of them. They have nothing to say. Most of them have never really done anything except read a teleprompter. Having said that, however, there are very brave journalists. I do want to say Anderson Cooper did a very great job in Egypt. The people at CNN, when they were in Tahrir Square, really sacrificed their lives on the line. But for the most part, there are certain guys like Bernie Gorsman and others whom I've known who've been really brave, who've gotten out in the field, but those days are gone.
All right, Doc, one final segment. Stay there. Amazing. Dr. Steve Pachenik is legendary, and no one knows what he looks like. And he is a humble man. Soon, in the next few weeks, we're going to have him back and just talk about some of the things he can talk about in black ops, overthrowing governments, writing the current handbook for black ops, psychological warfare, helping found the Delta Force. I mean, it's just one of his exploits you could spend 10 hours on. You could write books. That's why he has 27 New York Times number one bestsellers. Tom Clancy on record, his main advisor. You wonder how it's all done. It's Dr. Pachenik on record telling you who the 9/11 conspirators are, saying he'll go before a federal grand jury. 9 years ago, breaking down the fake bin Laden garbage. It is incredible. In closing, sir, studying Homeland Security. I saw Governor Ridge 8 years ago on a two-hour C-SPAN program with top CEOs say that they're going to first take over the airports, train us to be, you know, felt up and everything. They'd phase it in. And then they were going to federalize through the fusion centers and roll it out everywhere. Now I've seen CNN announcing naked body scanners to go in the malls. 9,000 locations now have TSA screens, including Walmart's, saying tattle on your neighbors, big right out of 1984. And they are announcing in CBS News that they are now going to prepare at pedestrian malls, shopping centers, and there's a TSA, PSA, showing them in a mall, and that now randomly federal pot-bellied goons are going to wander over and stick their hands down your pants as an act of total submission and domination. As a psychiatrist and expert in this, sir, is this not the martial law rollout without them telling us it's martial law?
Well, in effect, it's a de facto martial law, but basically it's very ineffectual. What happens is that you increase suppression on a domestic population, which has not been in any way disturbed or in any way has been quite content and has not shown any activities of disruption, it's very dangerous. What happens in effect, you're creating the very disruption that you fear. And once again, the head of Homeland Security really does not understand the dynamics of having security versus having freedom, and neither does the President of the United States. And one of the most important things to understand is our liberties are the most important. We have a very stable society. We've had very little terrorism. We are not going to have terrorism. The terrorism that occurred at 9/11 was because of a president that wanted to go to war. If they insist on putting more so-called security to protect ourselves against ourselves for things that didn't exist, this will be the beginning of the second American Revolution, which in many ways will be very peaceful, but will be very disturbing because Homeland Security and this president's real legacy to America will be the agitation and the disruption and the lies that are continuing. And
well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to start arresting. They're going to start arresting.
They're going to learn history. They better learn American history, because when we're left alone, we're very fine. But, you know, basically, there are many of us who believe in our rights and will defend it and will go to war the same way I will. The reason I went on your show is I've gone 8 times to war for our country in 8 missions, and I'll go a 9th time, including this one, which I see as an absurd, absurd disruption of our democracy and our freedoms. And if they insist that this is what they think is best for national security, then they must pay the price. I render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and I will give it to him. If Obama sees himself as Caesar and denigrates us, then he will go the way of Caesar, as will Homeland Security. There is no other solution, because the more force you will use against peaceful people, it'll come back to hurt them. All they have to look is Egypt, Libya, the Middle East. Those young students can be mobilized here in the United States. They should be, and they will not be tolerating this type of suppression. And they don't understand that now, with the technology that we have and the ability for people like you to reality test this, and then eventually what will happen is they are seeding the seeds of their own destruction. And this is what Obama does not understand. He's not smart enough.
Exactly. The founding fathers finally...
Enough. I mean, one of the key things that people never got to is he's just not very bright. And the fact that they think he went to Harvard doesn't mean anything. I've got more idiots who came from Harvard who don't know how to run a paycheck or don't know how to run a mortgage. I never hire anybody in a business who came out of Harvard Business School. They're just not that bright. It's not an everyday man. But the man has never done anything. So what we have here is the seeds of imperial presidency extended from Bush Jr., before that Clinton, and now we get to the supreme idiocy of a man who really doesn't understand psychological warfare, national security, or war, and has ordered our military to sacrifice its best men and women in a noble cause that they always believe in defending our freedoms, but are really involved in civil action, civil...
I hear you. We're out of time.
No part is doing.
We're out of time, Doctor.
Yep,
stevepochenik.com, stevepochenik.com, links at infowars.com. He'll be back tomorrow and Friday. Stay with us.